This call is being recorded.
Father, thank you for the opportunity of going into your word. I thank you for your grace, your mercy, your power, and everything that's contained in your word to lead us and guide us into truth, to embolden us in the midst of darkness, to give us help and strength in the time of disaster, when our faith starts to waver and get weak. Show us how you operate so that when mankind sticks his fist in the air, for us to know that you have the ability to crush his fist into powder. To look upon you to realize that no matter what the ungodly do, they can only go as far as you allow them to go. Teach us that when we love you, we will not fear what man will do unto us. Help us to understand that we should look to you for our weight, our glory, and not to man. And because of that, not looking to man for his approval, his acceptance, that we learn to not look to man to be the one that can destroy us, not to be the one that can give us the final judgment on anything. Help us to laud you, love you, to understand what you would have us to do. Teach us righteousness. Look upon our bodies. Often our bodies will cause us to be afraid of what's going to happen next. Or something happens financially, what's going to happen next? Guide us in your strength and your mercy as we go through this passage and learn who we're supposed to fear and who we are not supposed to fear. We give you the honor that's due your righteous name, that we can stand strong in the midst of this wicked and this ungodly generation, nation, among whom we shine as lights because of your glory, because of your honor, and because you have taught us. Lord, if you hadn't taught us these things, everything that we see could have us shaking, could have us destroyed. But because of your power and your grace, we can be strong, victorious, and trust in your everlasting word. I ask these things in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, for us all. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. One of the most amazing things that we can think about when we look at the life of Christ is that this one that we call our Savior, whom God has appointed to be king, he also appointed him to be the one that would suffer and would be the one that would be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That was a heavy load to have to bear. Not only was it a heavy load to have to bear, that means he would be wounded for our transgressions, and that he would be bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace would be upon him. It's one thing to read that in the scriptures, but there's another thing to see that he was spit on. He was lied on. The governmental authorities were turned against him. The people that were supposed to be his friends turned their backs on him. He was hit. He was buffeted. They would come around. They would plan and scheme to try to find many ways to discredit him. They would come together and plot to show that he was doing blasphemy or that he had a devil in him. He raised Lazarus from the dead, and they came together with a plot to kill him and Lazarus. They came with the plot in the middle of the night to destroy him, 3 trials in one night. And they continually lied on him in the trial and got together with a group of people and determined, we will have him crucified. They did the things in such a way Pilate could tell that they had a plan, and he tried to back away from it, but what they were doing was so much, he couldn't do it. He had to give them, according to his own feeling, Jesus to allow him to be crucified. But one day God raised him up from the dead, gave him all power and glory. And because God gave him all power and glory, he was able to send the Holy Spirit to his apostles. And those men were able to speak with authority and with boldness, and they would pray that God would embolden their mouth, give them signs and wonders and gifts by the Holy Spirit so that they could speak his word even more so boldly. In the case with David, God had put David, gave David the ability to be anointed, to put him on the throne. And the plots and plans against David were numerous. They would lie. They would use the government against David to do the same thing, and David would be on the run. But we all know that the time came, God put him on that throne like he said he was going to do. And we also know that the time came when David turned his back on God, God restored him to the throne. But we want to put our emphasis tonight, what about us? We're not getting ready to sit on the throne of David. We're not getting ready to be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. But we are supposed to be sheep according to the scriptures for the slaughter. We are supposed to be lights for the world. We are supposed to be branches on the vine. And the savor of life to those that hear God, and the savor of death unto death for those that hate him. And because we're supposed to reflect God, and because we're supposed to be his representatives, then we find in the Holy Scriptures that we represent God. And by representing God, we become an enemy to Satan and to those that follow him. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in John chapter 8, when the Pharisees said, we have never been in bondage to any man. And they said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus' retort was, if you were Abraham's seed, you would do like he did. Abraham saw my day and was glad. He went on to tell them, you are of your father, the devil. You are the murderer from the beginning. Again, he was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. So when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, because he's a liar and the father of it. Our passage tonight, Psalm 64, which is to the chief musician, the Psalm of David, is a psalm that speaks about fear. I've shown you the life of Christ. I've talked about the life of David. But now I want us to look at our own lives. The real question when we look at this psalm: who should walk around in fear? Who should be the one that's walking around in fear? The child of God or the enemies of God? Now, you may say, I know the answer to that, but do you know the answer to that according to this passage? Do you know the answer to that according to the whole of the scripture? I want you to listen to a man who has the opportunity to talk about the one thing that people fear the most. They fear death. They fear death, and especially death from an enemy. That's one thing people don't want to hear. So I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul before we go into our text, because our text is going to be very short, but I want you to frame this in such a way that we could see it. Paul, in a Philippian jail, was writing to the people. He was in bonds. He knew that people were preaching, and he was having a problem with how some preached. And he said the main thing is that Christ was preached, although some did it out of envy and strife. But let us feel what he's saying and then look at our passage and wrap our minds around. Who should walk around in fear? The children of God or the enemies of God? Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Why don't you read the whole chapter, Tim? Because I wanted to get to a certain place and zoom in. And I really wanted to pick up on that last part of the 20th verse where he talks about whether it be life or by death. So I'll just pick up in the 20th verse. Don't really like to start reading where it starts with according, but sometimes false sentences will do that. So the 20th verse says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what I shall choose, I wot not, or I don't know. For I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for the furtherance, for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ, or by me, or by my coming, to you again. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is what his desires are for these people. Here is a man in prison, and this is his desire for them. Coming from a background of having been in prison, having been beaten, having been stoned, listen to what he says in verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Reading a different voice, Tim. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. But to you, of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. If there therefore be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. I'll stop reading Philippians there. I understand he talks about vain glory and how you should do with one another, but he actually goes on through to show that Christ suffered, he was killed, he was put to death, and God raised him up in the midst of all that happened to him. But Paul is saying, and I wanted to emphasize, in the midst of what he was going through, I'm not afraid of death. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain, and I believe it so much, and I know it to be true so much, that I would rather go right now and be dead, take my trip away from the top of the earth, and take my trip and go be with God right now. I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. And yet, if you know Paul's life, there's times he would try to escape from things. One time he was let down from a window. But when it comes down to it, when I see this is what God wants me to have come my way, I am going to not be afraid. If there is any fear that comes up, I am resolved in my mind to suffer it for Christ. I submit to you. That's what David went through, and that's what our Lord went through. If I were to finish reading the second chapter of Philippians, but we're working on Psalm 64. Listen to the passage from the vantage point in which I'm speaking. Who should be afraid? The child of God or the enemies of God? Psalm 64. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me in the secret council. Hide me from the secret council of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who with their tongues like a sword, they bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them, and The heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. For they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. All men shall fear and declare the work of God. They shall wisely consider of his doing. Righteous shall be glad in Yahweh and shall trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. Bless the reading of his word. Who should walk around in fear? We see fear explained and talked about from the vantage point of David in the psalm. I have a fear of those that want to do something to me. I have a reason to fear those that can do something for me or to me. But then I have a reason to overcome this fear. And I believe David is showing why the enemies of God should fear, and those that are on the outside looking should fear the God of heaven. Let's dig into it. Notice how it starts out. He starts out with this prayer. Imagine this as a song, and you're crying out, hear my voice, hear my voice, hear my voice, oh God, in my prayer. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, David? Preserve my life. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. The enemy is attacking. When Jesus is crying in the garden, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup.
But if it's not possible, nevertheless, let your will be done.
What about us, Lord? They're coming to take us away. They want to take our money and taxes. They want to kill our babies. They want to shut us up. They want to move us away. And some feel we should be killed. Hear our voice and our prayer. Preserve our life from the fear of the enemy. Then hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. Hide us from the plots of the wicked. They come together and they work out counsels. In California, they work it out where you better not keep talking about the Bible. They want to work it out where you can't preach and even tell a person that living an ungodly, immoral, homosexual lifestyle is wrong. They don't want you to do that. They don't want you to say what God's word say. They don't want us to stand for what God has to say.
Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, the evildoer,
and from the insurrection, the tumult, the uproars of the workers of iniquity, those that are lawless. He says, Lord, look at them. Hear me. I got great reason. They can do something to my body. Hear my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of those kind of people. The people that I identified that come together in council, they want to destroy me. They want to destroy those that love you. They are the workers of iniquity. And what do these people do to prepare themselves to do and to destroy us? It's in the passage. It's amazing what this thing says in the passage. How do we know that these individuals put themselves in the position to make us afraid? This is their desire. They choose that they want the children of the child of God to be afraid. Listen to what they do in verses 3 and 4. They whet their tongue like a sword. They sharpen their tongue like a sword. The picture here is that fix their words in such a way that they can kill us, that they can destroy us, that they can slaughter us and take the booty.
They bend their bows to shoot arrows, even bitter words. Do you see how that's duplicated? One, their tongue is like a sword, and then their words are bitter words that shot like arrows. This means that they will lie. They will fabricate. They will do and say things that take away your name. They will do things that take away your freedom. They will do things that take away your life. What is your influence? They have preparation to ensnare us. Lord, preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. The three things I ask you to do is to hear me, to preserve me, and to hide me, because they are active. They show that they want us to be afraid of them by their preparation to ensnare us. They whip their tongue like a sword. Their words are like sharp arrows. And then watch how they praise and embolden themselves. Verses 5 and 6. For they shoot in secret at the perfect. Those that are blameless, they shoot in secret. We call that slick. They shoot from a hiding place at the perfect. They suddenly shoot at him and fear not. They embolden themselves. They praise themselves. How do you know they praise themselves? Look at verse 5. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They praise themselves. They encourage themselves. They do like the children of God do when they come to hear your word. They come to learn. They encourage themselves in the Lord. They encourage themselves in the word. These people encourage themselves in their wickedness to destroy, to do things to us. And he said, Lord, hear me. Lord, preserve me. Lord, hide me from the fear of the enemies. They are plotting. They are scheming. They want to destroy. They use their words. They come together with one another. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. And look at what else they do. They commune of laying snares. We want to lay snares. A certain type of trap that can grab you and hold you where you can't get loose till someone come and kill them. And this is what they do privately. They say, who shall see them? Should we be afraid of them? Should we turn our back on God because of them? They are not afraid of God. They prepare themselves to do things to the children of God. They praise and embolden themselves by coming together, encouraging themselves, and communing one another. What can we do to hurt the child of God? But the child of God should be looking at God. Looking at, yes, you see the enemy, but you should see God. In nothing we should be terrified, which is an evident token of perdition, Paul says. The suffering that we should go through, it should be for the cause of Christ. Our mindset should be, Lord, no matter what, preserve me from the fear of them. Hear me, keep me from the fear of them. I only want to fear you. Lord, who should I fear? Should I fear you? Should I fear them? Lord, it's you. Lord, they don't fear you. Teach them how to fear you. Who should be walking around in fear? The ungodly. Listen to what verse 6 has to say about them emboldening themselves. They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. In other words, these people, they do their plans in such a way that the latter part of this verse says, but the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. They got plans that you would call either mysterious. Some would call them the plans that they have are such that they are done undercover. What do you mean undercover? You don't really see the opening of what they're doing. You don't really see how it's set about. If you think about how they did, they would pay people to come in and testify against Jesus. They would suborn witness. I want you to hear how it's written in the New American Standard Bible. It said, they devise injustices, saying, we are ready with a well-conceived plot. For the inward thought and the heart of man are deep. Now, you know that the Bible teaches you in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah 17 and 9, that's where it comes from. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the next verse is, I am the Lord, I'm Yahweh. I try the heart and I test the reins to give every man according to his work shall be. Who should be the one that's afraid? Look at all that they've planned. Look at all that they've done. Look at what we've seen that they've done to David. Look at what we see that they did to our Lord. Look, when we see what happened to all of the apostles, should we walk around in fear? What do we get for an answer? Let's look at verses 7 and 8. Since I'm in the New American Standard Bible, let me read it there, and I'll go back to the Authorized. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly, they will be wounded. So they will make him stumble. So they will make him stumble. Their own tongue is against them. And who see them, they will shake the head. Let me make you understand the things that they're doing, the plans that are being set, the little mysterious things that are unsearchable that they're going about. God will vindicate his own. And because they see us as someone that can't do, can't protect ourselves, they don't realize we got a God that we can call on. They don't realize that they are fighting against God when we are living like God says. And our hope should be this: Lord, why should I fear man? If your desire is for me to be a sheep for the slaughter, let me be one without fear. Let me be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were going to put them to death, they didn't tremble in fear. When Daniel was thrown to the lions, he didn't tremble in fear. When they beat Jesus all night and hang him on the cross, he didn't tremble in that fear. When they beat Paul, when they stoned Paul, when they put him in prison with Paul in that trembling in fear, he was saying, when Peter was in jail and they were going to cut his head off the next day, they thought, at least kill him. Peter went to sleep. When you know who to fear, yes, the enemy plots. Yes, the enemy plans. Yes, the enemy can lie, cause you to be locked up, lose your home. But who should be walking in fear? The child of God or the enemy of God? We have a repository of the faithful in Christ, the faithful who have walked with God and God vindicated them. Yes, some lost their lives. Some were in sheepskin, goatskin, naked, destitute, and afflicted. When the ungodly say, no weapon formed against me will prosper, and they're living a wicked and an ungodly life, they don't know what that scripture means. When it says, the scripture says, no weapon formed against you will prosper, it's talking about when the wicked and his plans and his plots and his arrows and his communing and encouraging himself to destroy you, which means to destroy the work of God, it will never take place. Why?
Because you got that seventh verse that says, but God.
But God,
back in the Authorized version, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded, so they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. The very thing that you're trying to do against God's people, God's going to bring that judgment on you. And then the Bible says, and all that see them shall flee away.
That word flee, that means to shake, to tremble. Verse 9 says, all men shall fear and declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. When we stand for God and we don't show an evident token of perdition, and people see that the fear is not there, as in the case with the three Hebrew men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did Nebuchadnezzar say? He said, there's an old God that can deliver after that sort. But in the beginning, when he had no fear, in the beginning, when he was plotting, in the beginning, when he had all that mouth, what God is there that can deliver you out of my hand? Out of my hand, I got a big old hand.
And when God delivered, Nebuchadnezzar had fear. And if you think I'm wrong because you don't see it said that Nebuchadnezzar have fear, you put yourself in the mind that you just tried to kill God's children, and you see somebody walking around in the fire that's not burned and not letting them get burned. You don't want that one to come out and tear your tail in sunder. What do you think all the other people said when they knew about it? What do you think the demons did when Jesus was raised up from the dead? When he went written down and preached to the spirits that are in prison? What do you think right now when all principalities and powers and everything in heaven and earth and under earth bow to his name? What do you think about the time when God's going to let us rule and reign with him? We better be practicing now. And the Bible said, and all men shall fear. Fear the wicked or fear God? Fear God. And shall declare the work of God. This is how God's word gets to be known, that no matter what happens when you're doing God's will, no matter what happens, God is in control and his name will be vindicated, justified, glorified, and exemplified if we will not fear man, but that we will fear him. The wicked should be fearing God. We should not be fearing the wicked. Who should walk around in fear, in trembling? The child of God? Because of the wicked? No. The wicked should be fearing God because of what they do to us. Why do we have this confidence? Look at what it says, verse 9. Well, let's look at verse 9. 8 and 9, I'm sorry. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves, and they shall see them, and they shall flee away. It's the same thing you see in Deuteronomy 19. Whatever you're going to bring on somebody as a false witness, that's your judgment. All men shall fear and declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in Yahweh and shall trust in him. And the upright... and the upright in heart shall glory. The righteous shall be glad in Yahweh, not themselves, and shall trust in him, not fear the wicked. The upright in heart shall exult. They shall, in other words, boast in God. There's a lot of things that's going to come our way, and there are things that's already coming our way. Sometimes they come from our family members. Sometimes they come on our jobs. Get mocked at on television, sitcoms, movies, comedians. Go to court. Out in the street, you get mocked. Different words they use that are bitter, try to make us fear, try to make us fear them. Fear their withholding of approval. Fear their being able to make people turn against us and we lose business. Fear that they may do something to us because they say Christians are the problems. Who should really be walking around in fear? Child of God or the enemy of God? according to the whole of the Bible and according to this passage, God vindicates. But in the midst when it looks like they have the upper hand, in the midst when God is allowing them to do and bring about things that hurt, when they're doing their devilment, we should be like Paul, in nothing terrified. We should look to the scripture and say, you know what? What they're doing is going to come upon themselves, because one day God is going to shoot. He's going to do what he's going to do. And if he doesn't do it right away for me, I'm going to be able, because I'm holding on to the same God that David held on to. I'm holding on to the same Father that Jesus held on to. I'm holding on to the same Father and to the Son that Paul held on to. And I can just say with him, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I will not be walking around in fear. I'll be walking around in trusting in my God and glorifying his name. The wicked should be the one that's walking around in fear, because they plan, they commune, they sharpen their swords. They say no one sees. They see they have no fear, and yet God is their number one enemy. And at his own time, he can destroy. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the truth that's in your word. And I ask you by your might and your power that you help us to look upon these things and realize that your day of justice and judgment will come. Help us to realize, yes, they can hurt us. Keep us from the fear of the enemy. Preserve us from the enemy. Hide us in your power from the enemy. But should you allow, for some reason, for us to suffer for your name's sake, help us to remember you still will vindicate, and help us to remember that just like your Son suffered obedience unto death, highly exalted him. And Paul, who suffered much under the hand of the wicked, he told Timothy he fought a good fight. He kept the faith. He said he finished his course, and henceforth was laid up for him a crown of righteousness that you would give to him at that day. And he said it would not only be to him only, but to all of us also, that will believe and that what love is appearing. Strengthen us with faith in this wicked world to not walk around in fear of the enemy, but in some way to communicate to them that they should be afraid of the God that is just, righteous, and holy, that will render to every man according to his deeds and his works. Amen. Amen, and even so, amen. I'll now open our class for discussion, if there's any discussion to be had tonight. If there's any discussion to be had, we can go into it, and I think it's going to be nice.
Hello.
I hear you.
Are you just now able to hear me, or did you hear me before?
I couldn't hear you before. I was trying to unmute the computer, and it went to invite, and I couldn't get it to come off of invite. So I think Ann helped me.
I don't know. I think both of our phones. I don't know if it's this was echoing. Stop that coin. It stopped. Oh, it's an encouraging message, and it's one that speaks to maturing and still trusting, because I think even in the scriptures we do see individuals who have reached a level of spirituality and then are mature, but they'll express at least the need for God to be able to continue on. I mean, I think of Christ being in the garden, and while I don't think he was afraid, it was like, okay, this is pressing on me. And so I mean, as time progresses in this world that we live in, we see that it becomes more and more wicked. And I think of, you know, in Genesis, I think it's 6, it says, and the thought of man was evil continuously, or the heart of man, or something, you know, in those lines. And still, I guess, thinking in Genesis, the child of God, we must be mature and understand that we our citizenship is on high, and that we are ambassadors. And like, if I mean, I can say that, but to, you know, go through something, that's when, you know, we sing that song sometimes, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you. Well, I mean, to see him, let's say, like Stephen, and it, you know, that's something. But I'm thinking of Cain and Abel. And so Cain, you know, killed his brother, and it looks like Abel's been defeated. But the interesting thing is because of his martyrdom, you know, God did not forget about him. I mean, his blood was still righteously, how can I say, seeking that judgment toward his what's the word I'm looking for the one who for his brother who killed him. So that's, I think, right. if we can really understand that we are to be pilgrims here and be able to move away from the emotion, because it is that emotion, and it is that, oh my gosh, you know, what's going to happen. I felt it on occasion, not to the extent of Paul or anything like that, but I mean, God's going to be glorified. He is going to be glorified, and to think that Abel was deceased, you know, his physical body had gone on, but God, I mean, Jesus speaks of Abel. I think it's something about the righteous, I think he called him like a prophet or something. Prophet, you know, he called him righteous and so forth. So if we can understand that, then to know that glory is to be had. I mean, this is according to the word of God. I mean, it's not to be compared to what we're to really understand. I very encouraging message tonight. I'm wondering if it was hard for you not to call on many scriptures that I would just think that you might have entertained.
There's so many that could have been, and the thing that kept sticking out in me is fear. I kept looking at all of this fear, and I decided to really look at who should be afraid in this passage.
Yeah,
it was sticking out. Now I looked, I saw them planning. I mean, they had this thing planned so well. I mean, if they would have had the FBI on their side, they would have used it. They would have used the Department of Justice. They would have used demons and witchcraft, and sometimes they did. And looking at that, like, really, who should be afraid in this passage? Because it starts out with David, but in the end, look who gets beat up. So I'm trying a lot of times to, things that I know that we've covered, do a little more quoting of what's going on instead of reading as many scriptures. But when I feel that I need to read them, I will, because sometimes when I read the scriptures, I'm trying to make sure that if an argument come up, this is what the scripture says, period.
Right.
And then too, it was like, I could teach this message here, and I can shorten it without taking away the strength of it. And anything I leave on the table, I think it'll come up in discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it too.
I think if we look at this, one of the key thing that we really need to understand is when we look at this fear, especially how it's presented in the scripture, this fear shows that the child of God is concentrating and is directing his her thoughts to the Lord, to God. And I think if we lose sight of that, and not just, okay, I went to church, not just, okay, I got on my knees. No, really. Imploring God, pleading to God. And as I was saying the other night when I was looking at the, not Tuesday night per se, but when Solomon prayed that prayer, he prayed biblically. We need to learn how to pray biblically, that, you know, Jesus says, as it is in heaven, you know, thy will be done, and his will to be done. I mean, that's pleasing to the Lord. It's like, okay, why should I say that? Well, that's pleasing to the Lord. I mean, Jesus, like, I say what my daddy said. You know, I'm not trying to come out with my own agenda. And so if we understand that in those times, when they come, should they come to honor God, you know, I thought you might say something about Matthew 10 and 28, but you didn't have to.
I had quoted it.
Okay, I just didn't hear it.
I think I quoted it when I was praying, but that was almost sticking in my mind all the time. But yeah, you definitely on it on that one, that, because Jesus really, he puts it out there hard, doesn't he?
Yeah. And I think is it the 32nd verse or the 33rd verse in the same, that same one, he says, if you're ashamed of me, I can't remember, it says before men, then I'm going to deny you before the Father. I'm going to be ashamed of you. That's something. He said, but Lord, I was scared. I mean, ultimately it's like, you don't renounce me. Your life is to be that witness for me, you know? So it was an encouraging message, and I feel like I needed to hear it.
Well, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, is there anybody else that needed to hear it, didn't need to hear it, feel like I still put too much in it, didn't put enough in? Speak up. This is family. I mean, real family, not rainbow.
Well, you said there were times, I like how you brought in, so you said you see sometimes when Paul was, I think you said let out a window. I think King James might say let down a wall. I mean, he's had so many things happen to him. I mean, but there's a maturity in him. I get confused sometimes if it's Corinthians or wherever he starts talking about some of the things where it just, even like the elements, you know, being shipwrecked, being bitten by
the Corinthians 11.
Uh-huh. You know, and been beaten, I think, three times with almost the maximum, I guess the maximum number of stripes. And I really thought you might go to Acts where they were crying for me. He's like, it's almost like, you said, why are you crying? You know, but you said I'm between the two, straight betwixt, or you know, I really want to leave. So it was really encouraging. And I'll stop so somebody else, if they want to.
I think that they may be just enjoying what you're saying, because I don't think nobody is muted where they can't say anything.
This is what I know. Well, I can teach a lesson on this sometimes, and I hear you and be like, this is good. But I'm like, okay, now when testing time comes, will I remember this? Will I live this? You know, and say, Paul, he was let down, you know, and you can see, like, I think of Elijah when I think I was talking about this at the table. We might have been talking about it a couple of weeks ago, to see how amazing it was that he saw what the Lord did, and then you see him running from Jezebel. It's like, is this the same man? But it shows, like, that's how we can be. But you turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it, but you can. And then let him stand up in us, you know.
Did we lose you?
No, I was just thinking, but it does require faithfulness. I mean, if one's not being faithful, and then it's like, okay, Lord, he can still fight and of course use us, but I'm like, it's a faithfulness.
Amen. Now, is there somebody want to jump in here while we jump and rope Gary and I? Does anybody want to get in here in this double dutch? Nobody? No, not one? Not even Uncle Butch? Is discussion over so quickly? Is the lovely one got anything to say? I won't call her name. What?
You think you tried that last week?
Well, you know, Ann could say I'm talking about Dree. I mean,
you're funny, Jeremy.
I did say that.
I thought I heard you.
She is lovely.
I mean, if I were Dre, I'd say something, just say hello, and I let me see it like people say in word faith. She might want to claim that. Now they say so quickly, I can receive that.
Yeah, they say it.
Yes, sir.
What you got, Angelina?
Nothing.
Okay.
When you started preaching, though, like you made me remember my dream about D.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about he was in the straight betwixt the two.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
how
yeah.
It would be good for him to leave, but mm-hmm. It would be more profitable for them if he stayed. And it reminded me of that dream. It was just weird because
they don't know what the dream is. So okay, what dream?
The dream was that I dreamed that we had found a way to bring D back. We had some sort of contraption.
Uh-huh.
And we had brought him back and he was here and we never said it to each other, but like we all knew that he wasn't happy to be back.
Wow.
And that we would see him come in from work and it was like a drag. You know, like he was unhappy, but we never said it to each other.
Uh-huh.
We all started, it seemed like when we brought him back, in this contraption and something happened to it. It broke, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we never said anything to each other, but we all came together at one point. And we all had a piece of this contraption to put it back together.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all been, and we was like, I didn't know you was looking for a piece, if you was looking for it. And then we put it together. We had one part that was really essential to it. But there was one piece that was missing. It looked like some sort of pod or something.
Mm-hmm.
And one top piece was missing. And so we were so happy because we came back together. We was like, we all had the same idea about sending him back. Mm-hmm. But we never said it to each other. And so when he came home, you know, we're telling him, we're going to put this thing back together to send you back. You know, and it was like unbelievable to him because he looked at the thing. And he kind of put his hand over the top of it and he raised his hand up like, this gonna send me back up?
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking puzzled, you know, like, yeah, but it was just weird. But he said, okay, But it was like, it was weird because it's like we could tell that we brought him back and he wasn't happy to be back. And I thought about Samuel will say, why did you disquiet me?
Yes.
why did you bother me?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's just like you think about the other place and you think about being with God. And there's a reality to it. You know, people say, oh, that's just what you believe, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's a reality to it, to him, the builder and maker. And if that's where your citizenship is, then you need to be right with the owner of the place. You know, you have to be like David. And like you were saying, you got to get rid of that. Yes, fear is real.
It is real.
And
make you shut your mouth.
And this is the type of honesty that we should all have with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing is hidden from him anyway.
That's right.
I heard you tell Gary, you can't be afraid, Gary. You can't be afraid. And, you know, but after you tell it, I had the same situation.
Yes.
I had children. I didn't know if I lost my job. I mean, I didn't have another one, but it's like I couldn't be afraid. But like sometimes you say, Tim, you don't need to go work for them no more. You got some more people. How you going to be? You can't be afraid. Say it. Especially when I left my job the last time when they had the thief.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
you know, but
I mean, I guess you won't be reading your Bible no more. I won't be reading at night now. I remember that smart mouth.
He did say it. He did.
And then I had my spectacular one. It hadn't came all the way true yet, but you know what? This passage, that fear. I think Rich's version say dread.
Yeah.
Deliver him from the dread, but that it's still fear.
But you know, David was like the baddest man in Israel, like probably in Mesopotamia, you know, like in a region, because you killed the giant, you know?
You did. Even they talk, hey, this the one now we heard about that. They'll talk. That what they call the top 10 song,
yes.
And number one, David killed a giant.
And he went out and scared some 200 Philistines, you know.
Cut the meat off of their wiener.
I mean,
you know, you mean you did. Men ain't gonna just let you mess with that, okay? They're not.
This is a bad.
Not if you got a knife,
okay?
Okay.
And he's saying, I'm afraid. And it's not that I can't fight. You make my feet like hinds' feet.
But ain't it hard to fight against words?
It's so hard. Mm-hmm. And I thought about when Saul came together, he cried.
Yeah.
He got all those people together. And, you know, he hinted at he can promote them.
I can.
Like I can give you vineyards and you know, fields.
For the,
and make
the son
you over.
Of Jesse God.
Yeah, make you over hundreds and captains and all this stuff. And don't you all feel sorry for me? Mm. And this he is seeking my life. David was not.
No.
That's lies.
He was shooting those arrows. He was shooting.
And in that moment, he vilified him. He vilified David.
Yes. Laid a snare. And it was encouraging them to help him. That sounds like a dog.
And everywhere he went, David is having to ask, would they turn me in?
Yes.
Should I leave this place?
Nabal wanted to turn him in, didn't he?
Yes.
As a lot of fugitives.
No one is going to help you, you know.
And the very thing he said was should have been David's testimony. Ain't nobody here to help me. The king is trying to kill me. He plotting to save my life. And nobody feels sorry for me.
You know, and it's like, the Lord has tied my hands. I can't kill you.
That's the. Let me tell you something.
I can't kill you. Let me tell you something
I really believe. That's one of your biggest things
when you serve God.
Yes.
When you know you can do something.
Because
mm-hmm. they about to say, when you take it willingly, you know, if you buffet it and you take it, you know, and you're wrong,
when you're wrong,
that's one
right.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're not, I equate that when you take it, when you could kill him. It's yes. God has shown us too many times David could have slaughtered you.
When you be patient, when you buffet it for Christ's sake.
And it's like, because if he had been Goliath, I took his
There's
head
glory
off.
In that. Ain't no glory in it when you buffet it because you did something.
Or you scared. You know, like sometimes you take stuff off somebody because we as men, now you women might not do this, but I think you do because I have heard you before say that you could roll somebody if it wasn't for the Lord. You know, and having been picked on a lot when you were little, you learned that I'm stronger than people think, especially having mm-hmm. older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But as a man, whether they admit it or not, we size somebody like, I don't think I would ever want to deal with him, or he's little, but he seemed like he got some extra oomph. Or this guy right here, he's very violent. He'll do something. And you realize that it had to be an extreme situation. Like for my family, I'd have to go there. We so in the case sometime when it's somebody else and you don't know, and it's like, he's like, I could slap that gnat. I could crush that fly with this water.
Right.
But yet you realize this is the one you can't. He may be in a position of authority. And it's like, I can't. You know, there are some people in ministry that I believe would have been great for me to crush. And I realized there are some people that are so tied up in that person that there are certain things that I held back. I did some of the David, I told, but it's like to go all the way, but sometimes I'm not scared. But then you get to be, well, what would God do? And I can feel that sometimes when somebody has done something to me, and I think to myself, I can handle this one. I may be wrong, but I feel like in my soul, I can handle this one. Then there's sometimes I feel like I couldn't handle this one. And it's like, okay, would I act differently if I thought I could? When we see the consistency that we're always looking for what God wants. But there's sometimes he wants us to handle. But there are times it's like, this is not the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give you this last illustration. Then somebody said something, shot an arrow at me, shot an arrow, pointed their sword and said some stuff. And I thought about the person's sisters. Because I know enough, not only would it shame you, it might not shut your mouth, but you'll never be able to boast like this again. And my thing is, not now. This is, they don't deserve. And I just let some things slide. But, you know, it's always the opportunity to say, well, somebody said, Tim, well, somebody can talk about your past. Yes, and I have been wicked. I got the scars to prove it. You're not going to blackmail me, but David, I don't think I'll ever have a situation, hopefully, unless God really prepare me for it. I won't have one where the whole state is against me and I can stop him. I can stop him. God put that rascal to sleep almost to see what would you do, David. Bob said deep sleep. Now I looked that word up. That's a different kind of deep. It ain't the same deepness in this passage. That's the deep light that was put on Adam to take out the rib. It's the same kind of deep that was on Abraham whenever they did the covenant. This is one where it might be, the best you can say is anesthesiology, mm-hmm. anesthesia from God.
Mm-hmm.
Joab, what's his name? Abner couldn't move. The men couldn't move. Saul, David could have done anything. Wrote his name on his head. He could have skirt, took his bolster, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So, thank you, Ann. We got some more good juice.
Something else I thought about. I don't know why I thought about that, so I'll say it.
But I'm going to tell you one thing that you do learn. In this passage, it seemed like it would teach you not to move too soon. Mm-hmm. Not to move too soon, because we don't know what this song was written about. We don't know if this is one with Saul.
Yeah, that's what I
want. One with Absalom. We don't know. But if it was one with Saul, I really believe that if he had moved against Saul with killing him, threatening him, or whatever it was, he'd have moved too soon and would have missed God's blessing. Now, it's easy to say, well, you're looking in hindsight, what he did and what God did is like, but there's some things God really don't tell us in the passages. I mean, what was it like David's earlier life before we even see him on the scene as a shepherd? Did they pick on him? How did we know your mischief? What did David used to do? Or were they just lying? But there comes a time when we have to make decisions. We can be afraid of circumstances and move, do the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And it cost us. It can cost us. Some women marry the wrong man because I'm broke right now.
That's true.
And he can help me get out of debt. But this rascal he has not submitted to God. And you've chosen him to be your head. And now you got a struggle you wouldn't have had. But I was scared I was going to be broken homeless. Same thing with a man. I'm sick. You go marry somebody that's a Jehovah's Witness. Because she was there for you when you was when you were sick. When you were down. Or a Mormon. Mm-hmm. I've known the people that marry people outside of the faith. You know, and a lot of times, years later, it shows Solomon did it and it cost him. And if you can do it and it don't cost you, you should be grateful it didn't. But I do believe that Satan is always laying snares and he's always got people. And he communes with them, with himself or his agents, and they commune. And that's what I saw. I saw that in this passage, it was just like they were in church. They communed with themselves. They encouraged mm-hmm. one another mm-hmm. with the stated goal that we're going to defeat the enemy of our king. I saw it. Is there anyone else that want to join in on this conversation? It's such a good one, if I say so myself. Well, was the message too short?
No, you said that it wouldn't lose its power, and if it was shortened, that was a true statement.
Yeah, I looked at it and it looked like to me I saw where the juice was and I was squeezing. And I don't think I could have done every illustration in the Bible and make it be say much more different. But like you did Cain and Abel. I mean he tried his best to shut Abel down. And I don't think that's the first time Abel ever got him told. But the Bible said God vindicated, he dead yet speaketh. You couldn't shut him up. You didn't shut him up. Now his blood is crying for vengeance. Lex talionis.
That's one thing about when you talked about them communing with each other and encouraging one another. They're relentless.
They are.
And they sharpen each other. And they study. Even though they say the same things, they say the exact same thing. They follow the script.
I'm going to say something that even if this part is on the conference, on the podcast, it's true. When I look at the lies that have been told on President Trump, the way that they really did surveil him, like they said, like he had said, and they said he didn't. When I look at the stuff that Peter Strzok, it's a page, what they did with Carter Page, Papadopoulos, without naming all those names, the things that they did with email, how they didn't do anything to one candidate, and they exonerated her, and then they made something with Mueller, and they always were doing things, and they have shown he will not, don't worry about it, he will not be president. Then when he got to be, we got a backdoor, we got an insurance policy, and the lies that have been told. I don't know many people that would stand up under that, that wouldn't have resigned or committed suicide. And it makes me wonder how much of that had to do with him talking about pedophiles. How much did that have to do with him saying, I'm not going to support Planned Parenthood? And yet people say, I don't like his demeanor, how he talks. That's fine. But as children of God, I find children of God don't, sometimes depend on what party affiliation, one person can talk hard and it doesn't matter. And another one can't, but don't lie on a person. When I see that you have used the government tools and you spend millions of dollars to destroy a person, and I realized that if they could do this to a person that was a billionaire, and I've seen a lot of lies, and I can name many of them. If I see that happen to him, what do I think is in store for us that really believe in God hard? The government has the apparatus not only to see what we're doing, to hear what we're doing, and to fabricate that we've done stuff. And the people that promulgate the propaganda will willingly go along with it. We better learn to fear God. We better learn to realize that no matter what happens to us, God will be glorified. Because if they can do it to that person that has reached the pinnacle and still do it, rest fully assured that when the people are behind another president that they like, they won't let you, they won't tell you the stuff that they've done that they don't like, and they will come at you. They will attack, just like we see in other countries. And as a child of God, I don't like inequality in what is called a legal system. And I did not say justice system on purpose. How would you like if everybody that know you, they take their phones, go through their emails to see if they can find anything that you have done, or maybe that you have said that you ran a stoplight or a stop sign and you get caught and then they lock you up for it because you admitted it. I've seen what people do as in position of power that it feels threatened. And a lot of times the people in bureaucracy are in power. As children of God, we better learn who to fear. Because I think God has given us a real good picture. We watch what can happen to us if the same people with the same agenda were to come after those of us who love God. Will we stand? That's about all I got to say. I think about it, and mean, it's sad to see that we don't look to TV or to the people that are supposed to be righteous, giving us news for truth. As you said before, you're telling me this is news. Why? Why are you telling me this is news? What have you censored out not to tell me that there is news today?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you tell me that you cut funding on a lot of Planned Parenthood? To me, that's good news.
That's very good news.
Have I worn you all out? You can tell me. Well, I thank you all for joining us tonight. I've enjoyed it. And thank you all for joining. And I'm going to close out the class now. Good night, everyone.
Buenas noches.